Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, March 30th, 2018, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and I'm excited as always. It's Good Friday. Yes, sir, it is. It's Good Friday. Again, March 30th, 2018, and we're going to have a good time today. It's Praise Break Friday. Y'all know how we do. We're going to celebrate today, and we have reason as always to celebrate, but today we have reason to celebrate like no other, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, man. Look, I'm excited about what's about everything that has to do with today. I'm just excited about everything that has to do with today, and I just want to focus on that, and we're gonna have a good time today. Amen. So as always, it's your boy, your host, Miss Dana L. King. Look here, y'all. It's Good Friday. This is the day, man. This is the day. I know we're not going to argue about and debate about what day it is. This is the day we celebrate it. How about we just do that? I'm not going to get into semantics. Y'all know how I can do. But we're going to just talk about it for what it is. This is the day that the Lord made for us. Amen. This is what it is. So we ought to celebrate that thing regardless of anything else. We ought to just celebrate who God is and everything that he is and everything that he continues to be for us. Amen, amen, amen. So I am ooh, over the top excited about today. Amen, amen. So let me do this real quick. Let me give you the rundown on how you could be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you could be a part of today's broadcast. If you're already listening on the line, it's again, just push 1. You could be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are listening, if you want to email the show, real simple, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to reading those emails on the air. Again, you can reach us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Amen. Always looking forward to those emails. They're always fun to read from what our listeners have to say. Amen. And then if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. You can follow us on social media. That's real simple to do. Taking the Limits Off is available on Twitter. That's right. We're on Twitter. You can reach us at TTLO Radio on Twitter. That's right. You can reach at TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can do that. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can reach us there. Amen. Amen. I love it. Also, you can find us on Instagram. That's right. You can find us on Instagram. Real simple. Same information. TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us. Same information. TTLO Radio. That's exactly where you can find us. Amen. Did I get that right? Yeah, I did. Okay. Amen. And then the live streams. The live streams are up and running. You can find us on Ustream, ustream.tv. You can find us right there, ustream.tv. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, that's ustream.tv. Man, my God, I'm excited about it. Amen. You can find us there, ustream.tv. Did I get that right? Yeah, reload. Okay, good. All right, so that's where you can find us there. And then we're also live on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We are live right there on Facebook right now, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And then we're live on Instagram as well, live on the gram. You can find us there at TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us on Instagram. Amen and amen. Man, look here, y'all. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Do a simple Google search. Google us. Do a simple Google search. Taking the Limits Off. Just Taking the Limits Off Radio. You can find us there. Amen. Want to send a big shout out. Happy Good Friday to all of our people here who work behind the scenes and people who pay it, who are a part of the show. Big shout out to my producer, amen, LaTanya Melton. Thank you for so much. Happy Good Friday to you. Happy Good Friday to my host, my co-host in this work that we do. Happy Good Friday to my brother Michael Henderson, Pastor Michael Henderson out at Second Baptist Church of LaGrange. Happy Good Friday to you, sir. Happy Good Friday to Pastor Cornelius Parks. Happy Good Friday to you, sir. Happy Good Friday to my twin, Angela Johnson, and her husband, Rob Johnson. Happy Good Friday to you all as well. Amen. Amen. Always excited to be able to share with them. And all to the other ministers who are a part of what we do here, God bless you all, and happy Good Friday to you all as well. Amen. Amen. So, look, I want to do this. Good Friday. And we want to celebrate. There's so much we have to be thankful for. But everything that we believe when it comes to Christianity starts with and focuses on today. It all begins today. It all starts with today, what we believe. What we believe happened some 2,000 years ago. We believe that's the crux of our belief. What happened some 2,000 years ago, what we believe took place, what we believe is our what all of our faith lies in is on what occurred some 2,000 years ago today. And we want to exercise that faith and that belief and celebrate that thing on today. Amen. Amen. So without that sacrifice all those years ago, we would be lost. That's just the truth, man. There's no other ways. There's no other getting around that. That's it. I mean, if we can't accept that as part of this life of Christianity, as part of this faith walk, then everything else is wasted. So we definitely want to celebrate God for that, man. And we're gonna have a good time today, y'all. Y'all know how I do. It's Praise Break Friday, so we always like to have a good time with some things, man. I was trying to load some new music this morning, but my computer would not cooperate with me, and I don't know what that is, but they just didn't want me to play what I wanted to play, because I had some stuff in mind, and I was like, oh God, this is going to bless somebody today. So I was excited about it, but it did not want to cooperate. So, but that's all right. Still good. Amen. Amen. He is still good, but I'm going to get it worked out, and we're going to have a good time. Amen. So let's do this, y'all. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation And if you want to call into the show, again, the phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. Looking forward to hearing from you guys. And you want to call in and tell me what this whole week has meant to you, Holy Week, Good Friday, what comes to mind, the sacrifice that was made for people like you and myself, knowing who we were going to be and knowing all the mistakes we were still going to make, yet he still sacrificed himself. He still gave his life for you and I. Amen. So let's do this. Let's take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're just going to jump right back into this conversation. Amen. Amen. So let's do that. Yeah, that's going to work. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO. Can bear. I love that more than I can bear. That's old school. I love that song, man. But it's amazing. And I think at a time like this, some people need to remember that. It's not scripture, no, it's not. But I don't want nobody calling in saying I said it. But it is the truth. He ain't gonna put more on you than you can handle. He's not gonna tempt you further than what you can where you can go. Amen. So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind. I just want to make sure we remember that. Amen. It's because people are going through some things right now. People have struggles and issues and things going on in their lives. And I think it's just up to us to make sure that we continue to recognize people and pray for folks when we can. Amen? Amen. That's just me. That's just me, y'all. That's just me, y'all. That's just my thought. I'm just thinking. If we going to do anything in this Christian walk, man, I think we ought to just remember to keep people in prayer. Amen. Amen. That's the least we can do. Amen. That's the least we can do. But God is good. Look, y'all, it's Good Friday. It's Good Friday. I know it's kind of mellow, and I don't want to keep it that way, but I don't want to I want to celebrate who God is and everything that he's done. But at the same time, I want us to make sure we recognize that this day, man, is just absolutely amazing. I had to think about it, and I, in Bible study on Wednesday, and thank God for the hospitality of those at Ebenezer, at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Thank God for them. But we were doing our Bible study lesson, but we started talking about what this week has meant, Holy Week, and part of that conversation led us to, as always, to the cross. But I have to go back, as my brother, Prophet Cornelius Williams, said to us on Wednesday. We can't go straight to the cross. We got to go to get. Come on now. We got to go to Gethsemane. We got to go there for. We have to go there first, right? We have to go to the garden, because it was in the garden that he decided to do something different. It was at the garden that he tried the human side of him said, Lord, is there another way? Because he had seen what was coming down, because he was God, so he already knew what the future held, and he saw that in the garden. But yet and still, he saw Friday. So even if we just took the day, let's just say he was in the garden praying on Wednesday and everything, and he saw what was happening and he knew what was about to happen. You had to believe that he saw what was about to occur on Friday. So he went to his father in the garden begging and saying, "Lord, look, is there, look, if it be your will, is there anything else? Is there any other way that we can do this?" And he did not get an answer, which in itself, sometimes no answer is an answer. And because he did not get an answer, he decided that he would go ahead and die for us anyway. My God, my God. And you can't help but celebrate that, right? You can't help but wonder, how do we make this thing, how do we ignore the greatness of what he did? How do we ignore this? How do we become so full of unforgiveness when at that moment he took everything that we should be blamed for and he took it with him? Huh? How do we put ourselves in a position to remember that everything that he did on that day, 2,000 years ago, he did that for you and I. He took your sins and my sins, your past sins and your future sins. He took all of that to the cross with him so that you and I would have a chance at salvation. He took all of that stuff, everything. He took all of that with him so that you and I might, so that you and I might have a chance at it, right? It wasn't, he could have done anything else. I said this the other day. He could have wiped us all out. He could have started from scratch. How many of y'all recognize that he could have started from scratch? He could have started from scratch. He could have wiped out humanity. He could have wiped out civil. And I'm talking about wiped out. I'm not talking about how he did with Noah, because he still left sin, because there was still some. Noah was the only one left. There was still some sin there. He could have wiped us all out and started over. So I want to make a new people. But instead, he says, "You know what? I'm going to do something else." He says, I'm going to give them another chance, and then I'm going to send my only son to save them. I'm going to wrap myself. I'm going to come down from heaven. I'm going to come down off of the throne, and I'm going to wrap myself up in this thing called flesh. My, my, my. I'm going to wrap myself up in this thing called flesh, and then I'm going to go down and live amongst them. And I'm going to let them see. Huh? Come on, come on, twin. Angela says he could have called down legions. Legions of angels. But he didn't. There was no other sacrifice. There was nothing else. There was not another lamb that could be slain. There was not another ram in the bush. There was not another. There was no more rams in the bush. There were no more sacrifices on the altar. You couldn't find another perfect white lamb to slay for us. There was no more burnt offerings that could be given, because the sin was too great on humanity. So he had to come himself. My God. He did what no one else could do, what no other being could do. And then watch this. He did what no other God would do. What other God do you know would sacrifice himself? Come on now. What other God? Come on. What other God do you know? Y'all can read and study and do all these things, but what other God do you know would sacrifice him? Come on now. God do you know would bring his own self, would give a part of himself so that you might have life and might have it more abundantly? Who else would do that? So I believe on a day like today, we ought to let go all of the frustrations and anger that we have with people, the disappointments and everything else. Because watch this, just like you can be disappointed in me and I can be disappointed in you, and you can be disappointed because something didn't work out. Trust me, all the times we think about how often we disappoint God. Think about how often we disappoint him. Think about how many times we've let him down. Think about how many times we've broken away from what we said we're going to do. Think about how many times we've lost our connection to him, and we've stepped aside and allowed other things and circumstances to take hold in our lives. Think about how many times we've just messed that thing up, and yet and still, He gave his life for us. And yet and still, he gave his life for us. Come on now, he didn't, and let's keep it in scripture. No man takes my life. I give it freely. He gave his life for us. Ah, come on, Angela. Mature saints say wasn't fit to die for myself. Oh, my God, right. Right. I couldn't even die for me. Huh? Hey, God. Sheesh. There is something about when you think about that sacrifice. Jesus. When you think about that sacrifice, here is the deal, and I often say it like this, and I want us to make sure we understand that. I know so many of us are going to resurrection services on Sunday, and some of you all that might be the first time you go, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Ain't nobody gonna be mad if this is the only Sunday you go to church on Easter. You know what? Congratulations and thank you and welcome and welcome to whatever church you go to. Let me welcome you on their behalf. But let me say this. We got to get to a point where we don't just remember this sacrifice on today. Y'all stay with me. We need to get it in our hearts. I think if we held on to that beyond Easter, beyond Resurrection Sunday, beyond Good Friday. See, it's easy to talk about it because everybody is talking about it today. Everybody's been talking about it all week. Everybody has been leading up to the culmination of it's our Super Bowl of Christianity, if you will. Huh? It's our mega everything. But what would happen if we felt this way all the time? Oh, what a church we would be if at the end of this week, next week, we still remembered the sacrifice. See, we go on back to our regular lives. See, we had Palm Sunday last week, so we celebrated and we talked about Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. We talked about that and we celebrated. Now this week, we were talking about the upcoming crucifixion, and then Sunday we're going to talk about him getting up from the grave with all power in his hand. But then next week we go back to just doing the old regular. But what if we forced ourselves? What if we forced ourselves into a life of remembering who he is and what he did on that day? What if we remembered the garden daily? See, we always talk about Calvary. Oh, thank you, Prophet Cornelius Williams, for Monday. We're quick to run and talk about Calvary. But what if we focused on the struggle in the garden? Gee, God, what if we focused on the struggle in the garden? What if we kept that thing in our remembrance daily? So what are you saying, Dana? That means before I react to your foolishness, I think about the sacrifice. I think about, did Jesus die so I could cuss you out? Huh? Did Jesus die so I could lie on you? Did Jesus die so I could mistreat you? Did Jesus die? No, he didn't. So I have to think, what if I started to keep that thought in my mind daily? See, if we remembered him daily, we wouldn't allow these other things to creep into our situations and circumstances. Oh, my Jesus. Huh? It shouldn't take a special day for us to remember what he did. I'm not saying we shouldn't. Come on now. I'm not saying we shouldn't remember it. I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate this week. But what I'm saying is on Monday, after you took off, in the words of my twin, your St. John suit, huh? After you took off, come on now, your Tom Ford jacket. After you took off your Christian Louboutin shoes. And after you took off, come on now, after you took off your Cole Haan loafers on Sunday. And you're sitting back and Monday comes and you get back to your regular life. Are we going to still remember the sacrifice? I don't know about you, but I'm asking the question. I'm challenging you and I'm challenging myself to remember the sacrifice. Yeah, we're going to all celebrate it today. We're going to celebrate it tomorrow. We're going to celebrate it on Sunday. But Monday, are we going to still remember the sacrifice. Come on now. I want us to get this thing. It's been on my mind for quite some time. I think I was up and this morning, and when I was trying to figure out what we were going to talk about today, and I found myself typing on the side because I felt like typing like I had to preach. Oh, my God, I started typing like I had to preach, and I ain't preaching nowhere, but I felt this thing in my spirit. I said, Lord, my God, what about remembering the sacrifice afterwards? Let me tell you why you should. Because, see, the disciples, can we go to Calvary for a moment? And can we sit in the seat of the Mother Mary? And can we sit in the seat of the beloved disciple John and his brother James and all of the rest of them that witnessed the crucifixion? For one moment, I want you to think about this. That Friday, I'm just going to stick with the date today because we're calling it Good Friday, so I'm just going to deal with it. We're not going to deal with the math. I understand the math don't add up. That ain't the problem. Right? We're going to let that go. But can we stay right here for a moment? Can we put yourselves in their shoes? You're watching, Jesus. You're watching your only son, my God, the one he promised to you. The one, watch this, you did not expect. Come on now, because she wasn't expecting because she wasn't married yet. Y'all, come on, don't. Y'all, hear me. Hear me. The child that she did not expect. You're watching the child get nailed to a cross. Your brother, James, is there. He's watching his brother being nailed to a cross. Your disciples, your brethren in ministry are there watching you get hung and crucified and nailed to a cross. And then they have to sit there in agony, not able to do anything, and watch you give your life and watch you die. My God, they have to watch it. Jesus. Woo! They have to watch it. And as they're watching it, this thing is being, watch this now, it's being burned and seared into their eye, into their mind, right? And then they take him down and they go put him in a tomb. Y'all stay with me for a hot moment. They put him in a tomb and watch this. Now, everybody else went about their way. But you don't think they forgot on Saturday, do you? You don't think Friday night when they went back to their houses, they forgot about what they just saw. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all missing. Y'all don't miss this. They didn't forget about what they saw. They didn't forget about what they experienced. Watch this now. They also didn't forget about their time with Jesus leading up to that point. What am I saying? What am I saying? What am I saying? I'm saying this. They didn't forget. They were there. They didn't forget. So, and Monday comes, right? Sunday comes. They didn't forget. He got up early, they say on the next day. He got up. They're still sitting in a room, afraid, because they didn't forget what they just saw. My God. What I'm trying to get you to understand is, don't just celebrate this week and then forget. Remember that thing. You got to picture that thing in your mind and say, he did that thing for me. My God, he did that thing for me. Now watch this. For them, this was their brother. This was their son. This was their friend. This was their companion. This was their everything. They saw this thing happen. Come on now. For you, this is our Savior. This is the one we've been taught about. And then when you come into your own experience, your own relationship, then you can now start to feel what they felt. But I promise you, as months and weeks passed after Jesus got up out of the grave, after he reappeared and showed himself to them and then went away and told them, I'll send the Comforter, I promise you they did not forget Friday. They didn't forget the blood. Oh, Jesus. They didn't forget the blood. They remember the blood running from his head. Come on now. Come on now. Keep this in your mind. This hit me this morning, and I typed this on my computer this morning, and it hit me because I never thought about it. I thought about it like this. I said, one hammer, Jesus, three nails, one spear, and a crown of thorns. My God. One hammer, three nails, one spear, and a crown of thorns. All of those things. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. One hammer. Come on now. Three nails, one spear. She got it. And a crown of thorns. All of these things. Come on now. Caused his blood to flow. All of these things, all of these things caused him to lose and spill blood and shed blood for me and for you. Now we can take it as far as we want to take it. I mean, we can talk about, thank you, Angela. I'm so glad you said that. He didn't, come on now, come on now. He watch this. And I'm glad you said that. He did not look like a human anymore. By the time they put him on the cross, he was beaten, right? They made sure that they didn't just whip him, they beat him. Oh, God. They didn't just whip him, they beat him. They disfigured him. Huh? So you and I could go about our daily lives keeping up and raising hell. They disfigured him. Jesus. So you and I could keep holding grudges against folks. Can I help somebody? And I know, I understand. I know how it is when folks wrong you. I know how it is when folks attack you. I know how it is when you want to get back at people for doing things to you. But, oh, my God, can we go there for one moment? The very people that crucified him while they were yet laughing at him, he said, Father, forgive them. The very people, my God, the very people that were doing the abuse to his body, the very people that were causing the blood to flow, gosh, Jesus, the very people that were ripping the very skin from his flesh, the very Jesus, the very people that was, watch this, they didn't just cause him harm, his mama had to watch, Jesus, God, his brothers had to watch, his Jesus, hey, it ain't nothing, come on now, but yet he forgave them. You and I still walking around here mad. You and I still walk. I need y'all to do this today if you don't do nothing else. Today is the day God gave his life for you. He forgave you. Today ought to be the day you forgive them. Oh, Jesus. I'm preaching to myself. Today is the day you ought to forgive them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's real. Today is the day you ought to forgive them. Because on that day, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus, he forgave you. My. On that day, some 2,000 years ago, he forgave you. Why won't you forgive him, Jesus? Why won't you forgive them that hurt you? Why won't you forgive them that talked about you? Why won't you forgive them bad on you? Why won't you forgive them, Jesus? I know they hurt you. I know they disappointed you. I understand that they caused you some pain and they caused you some heartache. I get that. I understand that. But you got to forgive. I understand that you've been through some trials in your life and it didn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out and you thought the plan was this and the plan changed and stuff didn't work out the way it was supposed to. But I ask this question again. Have you forgiven them? Have you moved to a space of forgiveness? Jesus, huh? Have you moved to a place where you say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to carry this mess around with me. I'm not going to walk around angry. I'm not going to walk around bitter. I'm not going to walk around disgruntled all the time. I'm not going to walk around with my countenance low and keeping my eyes looking down at the curb, not making eye contact with people. No, you died for me so I can walk with my head up. Jesus. Huh? You died for me so I didn't have to, so I wouldn't have to die. You died for me so that I could have abundant life. You died for me so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. You died for me so that I could have everlasting life. You died for me. Why should I walk around beat up and busted and disgusted? Why do I have to walk around like that? My God. I want y'all to get this. I want you to recognize this. There is something that we need to recall and remember about today. Right? We have to remember this today. I know we're going to be celebrating today and tomorrow and Sunday, but what happens afterwards? It's easy to talk about Good Friday on Good Friday. It's easy to preach about him getting up on Sunday. That's good. But can you live it on Monday? Can you remember the sacrifice Monday when that boss or that manager or that supervisor is getting on your nerves? Can you remember the sacrifice when that child is working your nerves? Can you remember that sacrifice when they're lying on you and still talking and whispering about you and behind closed doors? Can you still remember the sacrifice? Huh? Who are you that you can't forgive? When he forgave you, everything he did so was to give us some so that he could forgive us. Who are you that you're walking around with a heart and a chest full of unforgiveness? Now, I'm not saying you allow them to come back and spit on you again. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. Don't walk around with all this ought and unforgiveness in your heart. Don't allow. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to stay defeated. He wants you, watch this, Satan wants you to forget about what transpired 2,000 years ago today. Huh? He wants you to forget that. He wants you to be so focused on all the mess that's going on around you that you forget the sacrifice. Because, see, watch this. If you were to remember the sacrifice, then these little things and issues wouldn't bother you. Jesus. If you were to remember the sacrifice, these little anomalies that pop up in your life, they wouldn't bother you so much. They wouldn't have as much effect on you because you would remember, wait a minute, God, you died so I could live above this. God, you died so I wouldn't have to sit around and be angry and walk around and be disappointed. God, you didn't die for me to sit around walking around with a heart full of unforgiveness. So think about that. Think about that whole time. Like I told you earlier, it was one hammer, three nails, one spear, and a crown of thorns. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. That was our death. Come on now, stay with me. That was our death that he took for us. That was our death. That was our conviction, Jesus. That was our sentence that he took. See, it's a whole lot of stuff that you and I are guilty for, but yet he took that for us. Jesus. He didn't have to do it. I said at the very beginning of the show, he didn't have to do it. He could have said, you know what, Lord, just look here, Lord, let's start over. My God, let's start over. Can we have a redo? Can we just wipe them all out and start over? But he didn't. My God, and watch this, aren't you glad he didn't? Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't? My God, I really think we forget sometimes. So that's what I want you all to do this weekend. Of course, we're gonna celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection this weekend. But after Sunday is over, when you go home and, like I said, you done relaxed and you put your feet up and you done ate your good Easter dinner on Monday, is it still going to be fresh in your memory? Because I promise you, his mother Mary, his brother James, the disciple he loved, John, I promise you, the 3 days afterwards, even though they saw him resurrected, they still did not forget what he did. And neither should you and I. Neither should you and I. Neither should you and I should not forget what he did. But it seems like we only tend to remember it on days like today. But what kind of church would we be? What kind of people would we be if we remembered it daily? If every time I got ready to say something negative about somebody, I put the cross first. Oh, my God. If every time I got ready to react to something negative, I put the garden first. Huh? If every time I thought about something in my life not going the way I wanted to do, and instead of me walking around angry and disgruntled, I thought about the cross first. How much better would we be as a church? Huh? And when I say church, I mean as a universal church. How much better would we be as a body of believers? Think about that. If every church around the world, if every Christian church, every believer, even if I just keep it local, if every church in the city of Chicago, if the people in those churches on Monday had the same zeal for God that they had on Sunday, my God, what type of churches would we have in this city? I often wonder what would happen if everybody just immediately started thinking about the cross. I know somebody somewhere is going to sing, "I know it was the blood." But do we remember that on Monday? After we done got all the good preaching, after we done got heard all the good singing, do we remember that on Monday? Remember that. Make every day Resurrection Day, huh? Make every day Resurrection Day. Make every day about remembering what he did and his sacrifices. Make every day have to deal with, to make you have to go back and check yourself. If for nothing else, to check yourself before you do something. Come on now, because he forgave you. My. Ooh, Jesus. All right. Ooh, Lord, my God. I'm sorry, y'all. I just had to. It's just how I feel, and we need to do more of it. We need to do more of it. Amen. We need to do more of it. Yes, sir. Look at y'all. I'm gonna take another quick break. When we come back, we're gonna continue our conversation, y'all. It's Good Friday. It's resurrection. It's a few days before the resurrection. This is the day that he gave his life for us, and we're going to continue to celebrate that. Amen. Amen. So let's do this, y'all. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're
praise
going
Lord,
to
everybody.
Continue the conversation, y'all. We'll be right back.
Praise
y'all.
The Lord, everybody.
L-O Radio.
I want to give God thanks tonight by just saying, I will sing your praise, for you've done such a marvelous thing. For someone so wretched, yet my soul you have redeemed. No one else could do it. No one could care half as much. Yet you thought my soul was worth it. So you gave your only son.
You gave that I might live. You gave that I might be set free. That shall
Facebook will shut you down if you play too much of it. So I have to keep it out. I can only play. I can only play so much. I learned you can only give them about 2 minutes. You can only give them about 2 minutes before they act up. So, but we gonna get over that. We gonna get around it. My God, man, he is marvelous though. Jesus. Yes. I love it. I am glad. Y'all forgive me. I know we got a lot of we have a pattern of things that we do here on the show, but I wanted to make sure that we did that. If you I want to be clear with this, because and I want to talk to some specific people, and I'm not gonna name your names. I wouldn't dare do that. But it dawned on me on my drive in this morning, and it dawned on me while I was trying to prepare the show this morning. I know the topic is supposed to be 9 reasons the church choir is important, but I feel the need to just make a slight shift. I'm going to still do the article, but I feel the need to deal with forgiveness. I feel the need to deal with forgiveness. I feel the need here is what I've come to understand in this year. This has been 2018 in January and February. Has been some, it for lack of better words, I'll say it like this, tumultuous. Yeah, for lack of better words, tumultuous. There is, people are, all around us are leaving here, it seems like at a rapid pace. Sickness is everywhere. People are dying. People are in all types of accidents. Mass shootings are all over the place. People dying from things that we didn't believe that they even had issues and stuff with, and all of that. And yet we're still walking around with unforgiveness in our hearts. And I believe at a time like this, when Jesus can look down at the people from the cross and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I believe even you and I can say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know how they hurt me, Father, and even if they do know what they're doing, forgive them. And then, Father, I forgive them." And then even maybe it's time that we walked up to these very people and say, "You know what? I forgive you. It's best for me, my God, that I forgive you. It's best for me." And even if they and watch this, some of them are going to be arrogant and say, "Forgive me for what?" And your job is to just say, "You know what? I forgive you. I forgive you. I think it's time. I think it's time that we stop the hate. We stop the arguing. We stop the not speaking, the speaking, the some kind of way speaking, the half speaking. I think it's time. And I know it's Good Friday, and people say, "Well, yeah, this is how you feel today. Next week you'll be back." No, I think it's time. I think the evidence is showing itself that life is too short. Life is too short not to celebrate people. Life is too short not to celebrate people. You don't want people to leave here and you not having said, and you don't want people to leave here, watch this, thinking this. I don't care who you are. I don't care how hard your heart claims to be. I don't care how tough you claim to be. But I'm going to speak for me. I don't believe, and I don't want anyone leaving here thinking that I disliked them or hated them. Think about this. Those people who Jesus left while he was on the cross dying, I'm not talking about the ones who loved him. I'm talking about the ones who were yelling, crucify him. Those people who wanted him to die, when he left here, they only remembered him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what they remembered. They remembered him on the cross saying, I love you in spite of what you did to me. Think about that for a moment. I love you in spite of what you did to me. I love you in spite of what you're doing to me. Jesus. Think about that for a moment. That's the kind of love he showed us. That's the kind of love he showed us. That's the kind of love that we ought to start showing one another. And I know it's difficult. I know some folks have done some foul things to you. And I know some of us have been carrying some stuff around for 40, 50, 60, some odd years. But forgive them. Forgive them. It's time. I know it didn't work out. I know the relationship didn't work out. I know the marriage didn't work out. I know you did all this other stuff. I know, but you know what? I forgive you. I know you hurt me like nobody else has ever hurt me before in my life, but I forgive you. I know you cost me some things. I know it's because of you that I don't have some things, but I forgive you, Jesus. Because if we continue to walk around with all of that stuff in our hearts, if we continue to walk around with all of that pain and all of that anger in our hearts, we can't move forward. We can't move in the direction that God would have us to move in if we're still carrying all of that mess. I have to think about when they were taking him to the cross. He didn't have any of his clothing. They stripped him away of everything that he had. They took all of his garments off of him. And I know what the pictures like to depict, but truth be told, when you were crucified naked. That's the truth. That's the truth. Crucifixion was meant to be embarrassing. It was meant to be. It was meant to strip everything away from you. It was the worst kind of way you could die. It was the worst kind of way you could die. And I believe, and I don't believe. And everything has to be stripped away. And sometimes you have to lose everything. And he gave up everything. It's time we forgive them. It's time we forgive them. All that bitterness that you've been holding on to for all these years, all that anger, all of that distrust, all of that stuff, it's time we forgive them. It's time that we move on and say, Lord, look here, I because you forgave me. And watch this. He forgave us knowing we were still gonna mess up. That's the same kind of forgiveness we gotta have. Yes, I forgive you. And I know as soon as I tell you I forgive you, and as soon as I tell you this thing, you may go back and you may decide to hurt me again, but I'm forgiving you now anyway. Could you imagine how less how easy you will be able to walk around? how much easier it'll be to be in the room with these people, how much easier it'll be to walk around these people. Watch this. I can come in and I can speak to you and I can keep it moving. Because watch this. Even if you didn't say the words out of your mouth, but you sat around while they were saying them, I forgive you, Jesus. Because, you know, there were some people who didn't holler, crucify him. Come on now. There were some people who were sitting around who didn't holler, crucify him, but they just sat there and watched. And sometimes sitting around and watching is condoning, oh, Jesus. So he forgave them too. See, we quick to pick on Peter. Because, see, Peter publicly denied Jesus. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. We quick to pick on Peter because Peter publicly denied Jesus. But can I help somebody today? Peter wasn't the only a disciple that saw what was happening. He was just the only one who publicly spoke out, even though he denied him. He was the only one. So you have to remember the rest of them stood around, too. And didn't do anything and didn't say anything. They watched while he was spat on, Jesus. They watched while he was ridiculed. They watched while people talked about him and just stood around. But he forgave them too. Jesus. He forgave them too. And at some point, and I think we ought to just start it now. We got to forgive them too. We got to forgive them too. I know that church hurt you, Jesus. I'm talking to you now. I ain't calling no names. I know that church hurt you. My God. I know they hurt you. I know you don't ever feel like you need to go and be a part of nobody's church. But that ain't Bible. I know what they did. I understand how bad they acted. I get it. Trust me. Believe me. I know better than you think I do. But you got to forgive them. And you got to get yourself back in somebody's church. God. You got to put yourself back in somebody's church. I know how they treated you with that situation. I understand how they maligned you. I understand how they weren't there for you. But every church is not the same. But they ridiculed Jesus. They spat on Jesus. They whipped on Jesus. I understand what they did. I understand. But you have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. You got to move to a place of forgiveness. You have to. At some point in this time, and what better time than now? What better reason than now? Since we're reflecting on what he did some 2,000 years ago, what better time than now to set the standard? Be that person. And even if they don't believe you to be sincere, even if they don't believe you to be a changed person, you know in your heart, and God knows in your heart, that you've forgiven them. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to let them see some forgiveness out of you. He forgave us right there on the cross. Right there on the cross. He forgave us right there. Who are you? Who are you that you're so bold and you're so big that you can't forgive him, that you can't forgive the people that are hurting you or the people that have caused you pain? Who are you that you can't forgive them? Because, yes, they hurt you, but not one person put a nail in your hand. Jesus. They talked about you. But not one person whipped you with a whip with stones and glass and nails attached to it. Not one person hit you one time with a cat of nine tails. Not one person did that to you. Yes, they lied on you. Yes, they talked about you. Yes, they put you in some bad positions. But not one person put a nail in your foot. Not one person did that to you. You can still forgive them. Yes, they cost you some things. Yes, because of them, you lost some things. But not one, that person didn't put a crown of thorns on your head and make blood rush from your head. Not one of them did that to you. And then even afterwards, when Jesus got up out of the ground, one of the first things he wanted to do was, he was like, where is Peter? He wanted to know where Peter was, because he got Peter because he wanted Peter to be just like Peter publicly denied. He wanted Peter to be publicly restored. But let me ask you this question. Are you willing to publicly restore some people that wronged you? Oh, my God. Oh, God, Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Are you willing to publicly restore some people that tore you down? They publicly destroyed you. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm trying to help myself. They publicly destroyed you. They publicly ridiculed you. They publicly maligned you. But watch this. Do you have it in your heart to publicly restore them? Watch this. Even though they don't think they need to be restored. Do you have that kind of love and forgiveness in your heart? Does that kind of love and forgiveness exist in you that you can publicly restore them? Because while he was yet on the cross, he publicly forgave them. My God. My God. I hope I know we got the we're going to talk about this quiet stuff, I know, but I felt the need to get that out, and maybe it was for myself, and maybe I didn't hit your street and come down your road, but it's time. You know how to find them. You got their phone numbers. You got their Facebook profiles. You got their inbox information. You got their email addresses. You know where they live. It's time. It's time. It's time to forgive them. It's time to tell, you know what? And watch this. And if you owe an apology as well, it's time for you to apologize. It's time for you to seek forgiveness too. It's time for you to seek forgiveness too. It's time for you to step out of your because watch this. You won't see the true fruition of what God has for you until you move that stuff out of the way. That's why we're constantly getting little bit dribbles and drabbles of the little bits and pieces of blessings that God has for us. That's why we keep getting little nips and picks and all of this stuff of little this. We're getting little drips and drops of what he has for us instead of the overflow. Because watch this, there is no room for blessing when you're walking around with all of this other stuff. How can he pour into you when you won't pour out that mess? How can he, Jesus, how can he pour into you when you won't let some stuff go? How can I fill a cup that's already filled? Your cup is already at its rim. So all I can do is give you a drop every now and then, because I don't want your cup running over with all of the mess. Oh, my. Oh, my. I don't want your cup running over with all of the mess. So I have to just let you have a drop every now and then. And then you're, watch this, because you carry so much mess around, when you do get the little drop, you don't know how to receive it. Uh-oh. You don't even understand. You want to find out. Well, you watch this. You get so accustomed to getting the little drop of stuff that when you get it, your heart is so hardened, you're wondering why you didn't get more. I'll help you. There was no room for more. There was no room for more because you were too full of all this other stuff. My. I really want us to get that. I think if we remove a lot of this stuff out of the way, I think we would start to see the manifestation of God actually in our lives, in its fullness. in its fullness. I think we would. I think we would start to recognize and we would see the fullness of it. I think it would just do. I think it would just be amazing. So why don't we do that? I know it's I know y'all are like, wow, this ain't it may be a little heavy for you. I get it. It's heavy for me talking in here, taking everything in me not to walk out of the studio right now. It really is. It's a lot. It's heavy. But it's time we forgave some people. You weren't the best you could be in all situations. You haven't always been this preacher. You haven't always been this deacon. You haven't always been this pastor. You haven't always been the. No, it's time. It's time that you forgive some people. So my challenge to you, to the TTL, to all you guys listening right now on Facebook, and those of you watching on Instagram and watching on Ustream, my challenge for you is to do what's necessary to forgive some people this week, and do it this weekend. Don't wait. This is the perfect time, because hearts are open right now. This is the perfect time. This is the time to, there's no better time to seize the moment than right now. This is the time. This is the time to seize that moment, because hearts are opened right now. This is the time where you can go to them and they can come to you and ask for real forgiveness. This is the time. I know we got this choir article. I know. But this is the time. This is the time that you ought to reach out. You got their phone number, you got their address, you got the email address, you look, some of y'all know where they work at, some of y'all know where they live at, some of y'all know where they eat at. Y'all find these people that you know you need to forgive, or that you need to ask for forgiveness from, and make that happen. Don't let this be another Good Friday and another good Resurrection Sunday, and we sing and we do all this stuff, and then Monday we go back to being the same old, same old. Ask for real forgiveness. And in some cases, you know what? And don't just sit around. And I know some folks owe apologies to some people. Let me say this. Don't sit around waiting for an apology, because for some people it ain't coming. It ain't coming. And that's okay. But you have to forgive them anyway. Right? Forgive them anyway. You know what I think about? And I think about this situation with what Jesus went through, and how the bystanders, not the ones that were hollering, crucify him. See, there were three sets of people that saw this thing happening. There were three sets of people. There were the ones who were hollering, crucify him. There were the ones who were hollering, who were yelling, stop, not don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But then there were the bystanders who just watched. And you have to think, there were times throughout history where atrocities were taking place and people just sat by and watched. Those people need to be forgiven too. The Lord just gave me that. Jesus. Oh, God. Those people need to be forgiven too. I forgive you for just standing by watching it happen. Jesus. I forgive you for sitting there watching it happen. I forgive you for sitting there and not saying anything on my behalf. I forgive you. I forgive you for not defending me. Oh, my God. Jesus. I forgive you for not telling me that as I got ready to cross, that the bus was coming as I was crossing the street. I forgive you for allowing me to get hit anyway. My God, I know that's extreme, but that's how it is. I forgive you. Why? Because he forgave me. Because he forgave me. I'm just curious. I don't get if we can just do it by thumbs up or whatever is or likes or whatever you want to do. Is there anybody listening or watching? And maybe you're sitting on the line right now, and there's some stuff you need to be forgiven for. There's somebody you need to ask for forgiveness, or someone you want to apologize to. Maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time. Maybe I need to change this from Praise Break Friday just for this one time to Forgiveness Friday. Oh, Jesus. Maybe Forgiving Friday ought to be the title for the next few minutes we have on this show. If there's somebody or something that you want to ask somebody for forgiveness for, you're seeking forgiveness, or you're asking somebody to forgive you for something, or you know you owe somebody an apology, maybe this is the time. Huh. You can call the area code 347-934-0546, and we can make it happen. We can make it happen. Area code 347-934-0546. I mean, maybe this is the time. If you want to send me something, or if there's somebody who you know you need to forgive, if there's something that's causing you not to get everything that God has for you because you're walking around full of unforgiveness, maybe this is the time to let that go. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I'm not telling you to call in here and tell your business, but I'm saying if you're just seeking forgiveness for someone now, then you we have, look here, the phone lines are open. You can call in. The phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, it's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you about that. If those of you who are watching and listening on Facebook right now, maybe there's someone right now who's asking who needs forgiving, and maybe you just need to forgive yourself. My God, maybe that's missing too. Maybe we need to forgive ourselves from some things. Maybe there's something we need to forgive ourselves for. If you want to call in again, the phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Let me put it up here real quick. Area code 347-934-0546. If you want to do that, you can. If you want to do that, you can. No pressure. You don't have to. But if you want to ask somebody for forgiveness right now, or you're looking for forgiveness right now, or you just want to whatever. If you want prayer, whatever it is. I'm that's the way I am today. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. But that's what it is. It's area code 347-934-0546. If you want to call in, you call in. You push one. My producer is sitting there waiting to hear from you, to take your call. If you want to do that. If you're on Facebook Live, or if you're listening on, watching on Instagram, or if you're watching on Ustream, is there someone you want? I mean, I just feel like we got to do it, man. We got to do it. We cannot go. We can't keep going through this. We can't keep doing the same stuff over and over and over again and expecting a different result. That's insanity, people. The Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're really going to be worshiping God on Sunday, you got to do it truthfully. And truthfully means I got to let go some stuff. I need to honestly forgive some people of some stuff. Right? Running from it does no good. Can I help somebody? Can I help somebody real quick? Running from it does no good. Because it's still there. When you turn around and when you come back, it's still there. When you turn around and you come back, is still there. My God. My God. When you turn around and you come back, that all that anger, all that distrust, all that stuff is still sitting there. So why not go ahead and let it go today? Why not go ahead and let it go today? Let that thing go. Some of y'all going to run to the altar on Sunday morning because the preacher going to open up the altar for altar call, and you're going to go up there with all of this stuff, and then you're going to take the same mess back to your seat. Let it go today. You ain't got to wait until Sunday. You can let it go today. You can remove that thing today. My God. You can. You can. You can. You can. Jesus. My God. Okay, y'all. We're going to take a break. My God, we're going to take another break. I'm sorry. I got to do it. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into today's conversation. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you all some of this William McDowell, I Won't Go Back. That's good. We need that. Because I won't go back to Jesus.
Woo! Oh, Lord.
My, my, my. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO Radio. Be back. Let's do this. I want to do this real quick. We got about 13 minutes left in today's show. I want to make sure I do the article. But there's still time. If you feel like you want to call in, the phone number for the show again is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. I'm here. If you want to do that, amen. But I want to do this. We have this really good article. Excuse me. We have this great article, actually. And it's good. It's talking about choirs and all that. I really feel like I want to do something else. I really do. But I want to do that because I feel like I feel like this is the season right now. Jesus, I'm sorry. This is the season right now for forgiveness. It is. This is the season right now that we let some things go. I really think it's the season that we just let some things go. I think it's a season that we move beyond the normal everyday stuff in our lives and that we just let some things go. I just think that's where we are, man. I do. I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. I think it's just the time that we move past all of this hurt and all this anger and all this pain. I think it is. I think it's time. When we let go of some of this baggage that we're carrying, I think it's time, y'all. I do. I just think it's time. Y'all pray for me. I think it's time. We just left some of this stuff in the past. I think it's time we just move beyond some of this stuff that we're doing. And I think it's time we just start to forgive people. This whole weekend, this whole week, this whole Passion Week, Holy Week, as we call it, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, it's all about him going to the cross so that we might be forgiven of our sins. He gave his life. I wish we would get to a point where we would let these things go. It's a necessity. It's a necessity. There's no room for God in your life if you're carrying around all of this anger, if you're carrying around all of this heartache, if you're carrying around all that, then you got no room for God. My God, there's no room. There's no room. There's no room in life right now. There's no room for him. My God. There's no room. There's no room. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Jesus. Yeah. My. Yeah. I really wish we would recognize that. I really do. At some point we will. At some point we will. Amen. Let me do this. Nine reasons the church choir is important. The first one says this. The writer says this. He says, I like a choir, and I think a church choir without one might be missing something. He says, I'm not arguing that every church have a church choir. I, in fact, think a young church that does not have one, he says, but I do think a choir is worth considering, and here is why. Here is why. Let's go through these. Number one says this. It provides opportunity for many members to serve. Yeah. The writer says this. He says, think particularly for a minute. A Bible study program requires one or two facilitators per group, but a choir requires many people to serve. Open choir seats, and he says, open choir seats are opportunities to serve. I agree wholeheartedly. Choirs give opportunities for many people to serve. And it also creates a camaraderie and room for unity in the church. The choir should be the ultimate sign of unity in the church. That should be probably one of the most unified areas of believers or body of believers in the church is the choir. That's one place where everybody ought to be on the same page, if not the same key. Amen. Ah, come on now. Come on. That was number one. Number two says it helps produce good congregational singing. He says a praise team can achieve this goal too, but it's easier to worship through song when dozens of people are leading the way. Oh yeah, I love that. That's good. Yeah, it's easier. It produces good congregational singing. Yeah, because see, when people see a body of believers singing, it does something to the people in the room. When I witness a choir, there's nothing like witnessing a choir that's unified. And it makes you want to sing with them. You ever been in the church and a choir is humming? And I mean, they singing real good. Come on now. I mean, they singing real good. And you just want to join in with them. It makes you sing better. Huh? It makes you sing better. It makes you want to be a part of what it is they're doing. It makes you feel like you're a part of the choir. Amen. That was number two. Number three says this. A good choir sings and illustrates joy. Whew. A good choir sings and illustrates joy. The writer says, it's not just the singing that makes a difference. It's also the smiling. It's the worshiping through raising hands. It's the singer who closes his eyes and takes us to God through his own personal worship. It's the large group praising together. Oh, that's good. It's nothing like seeing a choir that believes in what they're singing. Huh? It's nothing like seeing and witnessing a choir that believes in what they're singing. And when I say that, I mean a choir that's sure about what they're singing. And this is why practice makes perfect. This is why it's so necessary that we're all on the same page. Don't look here. If the choir don't know the song, then God dog it, don't sing the song. Sing something that they know. Sing something that you know that they're comfortable with. Sing something that's going to that you know is going to move them. Because if it moves the choir, it's probably going to move the congregation. But if they're unsure about what they're singing, then how is that going to come across to the audience? It's no different than the musician. If the musician is unsure about what he's playing, how is that going to come across to the audience? Same thing with preacher. If the preacher is unsure about his sermon, how is that going to come across to the audience? This is good. We're talking about nine reasons the church choir is important. Number four, the writer says this. It can highlight diversity in a church. He says, particularly when the choir leads worship from the front of the worship center, the congregation can often see diversity, age, gender, ethnicity, in front of them. That diversity among singers is a picture of heaven. Yeah. Because think about it. In the choir, you got old saints, you got young saints, you got middle-aged saints, you got everybody all together singing, and that promotes diversity, right? And if your church is diverse, then if your church is culturally diverse, then now you got all types of people singing. And then watch this, you got different genders in the choir. It shows everyone in the choir singing, right? It gives them a true picture of what heaven looks like, because everybody in heaven ain't going to look like you. I know y'all, everybody in heaven ain't going to look like you. Amen, amen, amen. Number five, it promotes teamwork. This is good. It promotes teamwork. The writer says this, it helps promote teamwork. He says that, of course, is the nature of a choir. Everybody has a part, and it's parts combined that create the overall sound. And it's the parts combined that create the overall sound. It seldom hurts for believers to learn to work together in any capacity. It seldom hurts for believers to learn to work together in any capacity. It promotes teamwork, y'all. That's good. That's what choirs do. They promote good teamwork. There's nothing like seeing a body of believers. I said this early on. There's nothing like seeing a choir that's sure about what they're doing. You want to see something that can throw you off is to see a choir and they look unsure about the words of a song, or they seem unsure about what they're singing. But when you can witness a choir that believes what they're singing, watch this, knows the words to the song and also knows the words enough, watch this, knowing the biblical context that the song came from, now you got a different kind of choir. Now you got a choir who knows that, watch this, they know I'm not just singing, they know they're ministering. See, when a choir understands that what we're doing is not just singing, but ministering, that's different. See, this is why some solo singers, some soloists are amazing at what they do. Because they know they just ain't singing. They know they're ministering. You know, some folks are just that good. I give a good example. One of my other mama, sister, Patricia Lewis, she gets asked to come out and sing at different events and stuff like that. She knows she's not just singing. Come on now. She knows she's ministering to people. She knows that sometimes she's soothing someone. She's helping someone get through something, whether it's a family at a going home service, or it's someone at a wedding, or it's someone, excuse me, going through something. She knows that what her gift is being used for. And when choirs recognize that thing, oh my God, when choirs recognize that thing, they know something. They know something. They recognize it. They recognize it. And it's an amazing, amazing thing when it happens. It really is. It's an amazing thing when it happens. It puts us in a place where they take us with them, and we see God with them. We begin to worship with them with one accord. Huh? That's when you know you're moving. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Jesus. I believe that was number five, right? That was number five. Number six, it offers multi-generational fellowship. Oh, this is good. It offers multi-generational fellowship. He says, I've been to churches where the choir is the only opportunity for several generations to serve together. There's something God-honoring about an older saint and a teenage believer singing next to one another. Come on now. It ain't nothing like seeing an older generation of people and a younger generation of people worshiping God together. Because you see God in the midst of that. Because see, that shows you he's the God of everybody. Huh? That shows you that he's Lord of all. Come on now. Recognize this now. That shows you that he is Lord of all in all things. That's good, man. That's good. My God, that's good. Come on. Let's keep going. That was number, let me drop that one in there for you real quick. That was number six. That was number six. Yeah, that was number six. Number seven says this. We got two more. It says, a choir can be an entry-level service opportunity for members and attenders. Yeah, a choir can be a service-level opportunity, an entry-level service opportunity for members and attenders. The writer says this. Any follower of Christ can sing God's praises, including a baby believer who isn't yet ready to serve in other capacities. And to be frank, a choir helps even the worst voice somehow blend into praise. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Even the worst voice. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about myself. Even the worst voice. A choir can even help the worst voice blend into praise. You don't have to have the best voice to sing in the choir. But if you have a belief that God can use you anyway, and if you have a choir director and a musician that knows how to harness what it is you bring to the table, oh God, that's a blessing. Oh God, that's a blessing. You don't have to have the best voice. You don't have to be the best soprano, the best alto, the best tenor. But watch this, but just give your best when you get up there. And if you allow that musician and that director to get the best out of you, right? And watch this, good directors and good musicians won't put you in a position to fail. Oh my God. I'm gonna help somebody with that now. Good musicians and good directors, they don't put you in a position to fail. I'm gonna help somebody. I just helped somebody right there. They don't put you in a position to fail. They put you in the best possible position to succeed. The best possible position to succeed. So it's a good entry-level opportunity. Amen. I love that. It's a good entry-level opportunity in the church. Amen. Number eight. Almost at the last one. Number eight. The writer says this. It helps avoid the single star approach to worship leadership. It helps avoid the single star approach to worship leadership. The writer goes on to say this. He says, that's just naturally the case. Get enough people in the picture, and no single leader becomes the star. I've been around some choirs where all they do is they don't have any one particular person sing a solo. Every choir, they because they don't have one bona fide soloist, so the choir just sings. And you know what? Some choirs are better for that. Because it can be disheartening for some who they only got one person that can sing all the songs. Well, might as well let her sing it. Might as well let her sing it. Well, I guess we singing that. I guess she leading this song too. I guess he gonna lead this song too. You know what I'm saying? But that means you need to pick songs that don't require solos. That way you're not putting one person on the spot all the time. Maybe we need to start picking songs that don't require solos all the time. Huh? I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking a question. Maybe those are the songs we need to choose going forward. That was good. That was number eight, man. That was good. Number eight. Last one. We got one more. Number nine says this. Practically, a choir often opens seating for others. This is what he says. He says, this reason is secondary one, but it still matters. He says that there are 20 people sitting in the choir stand, then that's 20 open seats you have for worshipers to come. I like that. If there are 20 folks singing in the choir, that means there's 20 more free seats for people to come and just be a part of worship. Amen. Look, I know Instagram is about to end. God bless you. I know it's about to go off the air. Y'all be blessed, folk on Instagram. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Resurrection Sunday. You all be blessed. Look, y'all, that's the end of the show. That's it. We're done. God bless y'all, man. Look, it's been a wonderful time. I really hope you all got something out of today. Please don't let this weekend go by. Don't let this weekend go by not having asked or given forgiveness. Asked for forgiveness. Or extended some forgiveness to some people who may require it. Don't let this time go by. Don't let that happen. Right? Don't let this time slip away, where you haven't given people a chance to offer forgiveness to. That means you have to be open to it. That means if somebody comes up to you this weekend and says, can I get 2 minutes of your time? And they come to you and say, you know what? I know me and you haven't been on the same page, but I want to come right now and I want to ask you to forgive me. I'm not even quite sure why you're angry with me, but I want to ask you to forgive me. I'm not sure what I did to you, but I want to ask you to forgive me. You may get that this weekend, and what I need you to do is to be open to receiving it. Because watch this. You want that person who you know you wrong to be open to forgive you. So that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking today. That's what I'm asking today. Be open to forgive, but then be open when somebody asks you to forgive them. Be open to it. Be open to it. Amen. Amen. I just want to share that with you. I just wanted to share that. Let's do this. Let us pray. Can we do that? Let's do this. Let us pray. Father God, we come, Lord, just saying thank you. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Ha! Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for what you did. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord God, we understand that what you went through, God, no other human being had to go through for the reasons that you did it, God. God, you were innocent, and you allowed them to take you. God, you did no wrong, but you allowed them to put a nail in your left hand. God, you were innocent, and you allowed them to put a nail in your right hand. Lord, you were innocent, and you allowed them to place a crown of thorns on your head. Lord, you were not guilty, but they still put a spike of nail. They put a nail in your foot. Lord, you were innocent. God, you were not guilty, but yet they still pierced you in your side, Lord, but you were not guilty, and you allowed them to hang you on a cross, Lord. And we say thank you. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice, God. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for forgiving us, God. Lord, we remember your words. You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, God. So, God, we ask right now, God, that you would forgive us, God, for all of our sins and all of our shortcomings. God, I'm asking on my own behalf, God, just forgive me. God, I come on behalf of my family. God, forgive them. God, forgive them. Forgive them for how they treat each other. God, forgive them how we've been towards one another. God, forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, God. Forgive us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be better. Help us to be better. Help us to not just celebrate what you did 3,000 years ago, but help us to be better every day. Help us to move beyond our selfishness. Help us to move and become better people. Help us to not be so angry all the time, Jesus. Help us to not be so quick to cut folk off, Jesus. Help us to not just sit back and walk around angry and frustrated all the time, Lord. Lord, remove these things that are not like us and not like you, God. Clean us up, Lord. Jesus. Fix us, God. Fix these things, God, that are wrong in our lives, God. God, move like you've never moved before in our churches, God. Remove any distrust that we have in our churches. And God, and those that we might not trust, God, fix them as well.
After you fix me, God, fix them. No, God, I can't ask you to fix them if I don't ask you to fix me. Well, Jesus. So work on me, Lord. Because it's not them standing here, God, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing, Jesus, in the need of prayer. It's me, God. Like no other day, I need you. Like I've never needed you before. So right now, God, I just say thank you. Lord, I thank you for that sacrifice. I thank you for the hammer. I thank you for the three nails. I thank you for the crown of thorns. I thank you for the spear. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for going down into that borrowed tomb. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for staying there three whole days and three whole nights. I thank you, Lord. And I thank you for getting up for me. I thank you. I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Ah, you're mighty good. I thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh God. Y'all, it's been one for me today. This was difficult today. It was difficult. Things will come and folk will do things and stuff will happen to you to throw you off sometimes, but you gotta just Jesus. My. Thank you, Lord. 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 Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, okay. I got to go. Y'all be blessed. Keep your head on the swivel. Y'all be safe this weekend. Y'all be safe this weekend. I got to go. Be blessed, y'all. TTLO.